If you are visiting with us, you came at a good time, I think. When I first got here, almost a year ago now, it's been 10 months. Can you believe that? I started a series in Ecclesiastes, and a few things happened, and we kind of took a break from it, but we're back, and we're going to finish up chapter 7. I think the last time I preached, we stopped at verse 14 in chapter 7. And I'm going to pick up in verse 15 of chapter 7. You can go back to that slide real quick. I just want to take a couple minutes to kind of catch some of you up that are just visiting or you've forgotten about this series. You'll notice here that is a sandcastle. And the title of the entire series is Control is an Illusion, Trust God. Now, I'm going to read in starting in... Actually, in verse 14, but in 15, you'll notice in the English, it says, in my vain life. And what we've been doing throughout this series is that I've been arguing that the word there that is commonly translated as either vain or vanity or even meaninglessness might not be the best translation of that word. That maybe the better translation of the word habel is vapor, smoke, breath. And what Solomon is arguing throughout this book is a wisdom book. He's arguing that everything that you and I use to try to make the sandcastle stay erect is an illusion. So he talks about pleasure, and he talks about money, and he talks about power, and he talks about sex, and he talks about all these things that he's experienced throughout his lifetime, and what he's saying to you and to me is that when we try to use those things to keep the sandcastle from going into the ocean, and we grab onto them, right? We hold onto them for dear life, that those things eventually, they just go right through our fingers as smoke. And so what we've been saying and what Solomon has been saying is that, look, there's a couple options you have. You can either wear yourself out trying to make this sandcastle work, knowing that eventually it's just going to go into the ocean, or you can enjoy the good things of life. You can enjoy the gifts that God has given you, because life is not meaningless, because God created you in His image to reflect His glory. It is not vain. We're not just wasting time here. One of my favorite philosophers / theologian, Dave Matthews, says, really, we're just a collection of cells overrating ourselves. If that's true, then why bother with anything? But if it's true that we have been created in the image of God and we can enjoy His gifts, then the whole point is to trust Him and to rest in Him, and even enjoy Him. So that's where we've been going. Now we come to the end of chapter 7. There's 12 chapters in Ecclesiastes. So we're getting there. So we'll finish it up in the next few weeks. So hopefully you feel a little caught up. If you don't, and look, I probably don't say this enough. If you ever have any questions about sermon or, you know, anything that we're doing at a church or whatever, like, man, please ask me. I can't guarantee a great answer for you, but I at least would love to have that dialogue. So that's kind of a long introduction, but I wanted to just catch you up a little bit. All right, now we can go to the text, if you would. This is Ecclesiastes 7:14. I'm actually going to stop at verse 29. We'll start at chapter 8 next week. But hear God's word to you. In the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. In my vaporous life, I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this, and from that withhold not your hand, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Wisdom gives strength to the wise more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. All this I have tested by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been far off and deep, very deep, who can find it out? I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom in the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. All right, hit pause. I'm going to explain that. It's not what you think it means. Just, I want to say that up front so that then hopefully you can hear the rest of what Solomon is saying. So the woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters, he who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. All right, this is a hard passage. And every commentator I read, that's how they started it, saying this is a hard passage. There's a lot of things that can be misunderstood and go different ways. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to help me and to help you. And hopefully we kind of get a good sense of what's going on here. So let me pray for us, and then we'll dive in. Jesus, we do ask for your Spirit to help us with a hard passage. Help me to preach. Help others to listen. And at the end of the day, Lord, I think what we really want more than anything else is just to trust you. To believe that you're good, even in things that don't make sense. So Lord, that's what I pray more than anything else. Amen. All right, so I titled this, Humans Don't Make No Sense. And it comes from a little jingle that I like to sing to myself sometimes. And it usually happens when I'm driving, because that is when I am, I can be so arrogant and prideful in my driving. And so when someone does something that I just can't even begin to comprehend, I sing a little tune. And it goes like this. Humans of the world don't make no sense. Make no sense. Make no sense. Humans of the world don't make no sense. Don't make no sense. Yes, sir. Exactly, right? I mean, this is what I do. Thank you. This is what I'm doing when I'm driving my beautiful Jeep. So for example, right? Like you've seen this. Someone is in the right hand lane, and you're in the middle lane. You're not even in the fast lane, right? Like you're in the middle lane, going a good amount of speed, and then the person in the right lane decides that they're just going to get like right in front of you. They're just going to cut you off and then, like, just stay at their 63 miles an hour. That doesn't make any sense. And so there's these times when I look out in the world and I'm like, man, that makes no sense to me. And then in my more humbling moments, I have to look at my own life and say the exact same thing. You've had these moments, right, where you think something or you do something, and you're like, where in the world did that come from? That decision you made, the thing you said to your friend or to your spouse. Why did you say that? One of the things that Solomon is trying to teach us throughout this book is that there are so many things in which we try to figure out, or we try to find out, if you will. Look at the way this starts in verse 14. It says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, and in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. The word or phrase, find out or found, it happens 9 times throughout this passage. It's even one of the key main ideas throughout Ecclesiastes. So earlier in chapter 3, verse 11, Solomon writes this. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to end. And then later on in chapter 8, he says this. Then I saw all the work of God, that man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. What Solomon is going out of his way to do time and time again is to say, as much as we try to make sense of ourselves and of the world, that we are so limited. One of the ways that he's pointing this out, you see this in the first section in verses 14 through 18, where he talks about in the day of prosperity, be joyful, in the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. In my vaporous life, I've seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in evil doing. Be not overly righteous, and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? The common wisdom of the day, if you will, is very similar to our time. Not a lot has changed. But it's the idea that is, if you do good, right, if you're a good, moral, upstanding person, then you'll live a long time. If you're a wicked, evildoer kind of person, then your life will be cut short. Solomon is kind of flipping that on the head and saying, look, it doesn't add up that way. We would love for it to work that way, right? And so what we typically do is we say to ourselves, man, if I just can be good enough, then I can control things, right? I can make things turn out the way that I want to. And so Solomon says something that might drive some of you Calvinists out there crazy, is he says, don't be too righteous. Don't be too righteous. What do we do with that? It sounds like, you know, don't be too righteous, don't be too evil, right? Kind of the Aristotelian, like, let's be in the middle, don't embellish too much in one side. But he's not saying that. What he's saying is that neither one of these ways give you any leverage on how to live. We talked about this last week, actually, if you remember the older brother, and he says to his father, I have slaved for you my whole life. I've always done good. I've never disobeyed, yet you never did anything for me. And so it is easy, I think, for time at times, especially when we're suffering or when we're struggling, to not say to God, hey, I think you're doing it wrong. Because I've lived a righteous way. I've done right. So why am I suffering? That doesn't make sense to us. What Solomon is saying is that we are so limited in what we can really know. Think about think about Job's friends for a second, right? I mean, Job is the case study in suffering and not understanding why it's happening. Job doesn't understand it. And so when you look at Job and you look at his friends, like his friends are amazing until they open their mouths. And their main argument to Job is look, the reason this is happening to you is because obviously you've sinned in some way. I had a neighbor at one point who was struggling with fibromyalgia, and we were talking about this, and he was just like, yeah, I must have done something wrong for me to be struggling this way. And that, like, it just doesn't add up to us, for us. We want it to. We want to know, right? We want to know. We don't like to be limited in any form or fashion. We want to figure things out. We want things to make sense. And so we live in this kind of tit-for-tat kind of world. And then God doesn't do what we think he should. We have days of prosperity. We have days of adversity. And Solomon is saying, consider, see, pay attention to. Consider that God has made both. That God has made both. And that is wisdom. Wisdom actually recognizes limits. Solomon goes on to say in verse 19, wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who were in a city. He says that wisdom is better than strength. But wisdom also says that sometimes you're not as strong as you think you are. Everyone's vulnerable. We are frail. We are made of dust. But the most vulnerable of you are the ones who think you're invulnerable. It's those of us who think that we got all this figured out. Wisdom says, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Wisdom tells me that maybe I'm not the best driver in Albuquerque, as much as I want to think that I am. Wisdom tells me to think maybe I'm not as righteous as I think I am. Somehow or another, I went a long time believing that I was easy to live with. Wisdom helped me finally figure out that I'm not. Wisdom says, don't take heart all things to what people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. If wisdom reveals to us that maybe we're not as righteous as we think we are, then maybe we can be a little bit more patient and gracious with others. We hear other people talking about us, and we think, man, I can't believe those people are talking about me. But then we go right out and talk about somebody else. And that's the kind of stuff that you have to be aware of in your own heart. That is wisdom. But then Solomon does something that we don't expect and we don't like. All this, verse 23, all this I have tested by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been far off and deep, very deep, who can find it out? So, Solomon drives me nuts when he does this kind of stuff. He talks about how great wisdom is and how necessary it is. And then in the very next verse, he says, but it has limits. And knowing that is actually wisdom. Who can find it out? We want to know. We want to know what's going to happen. We want to know why you're suffering. You want to know why the world is the way that it is. You want to know why your own heart is the way that it is. And we are so limited at times. So this is why Solomon says throughout the rest of this passage, right? Who can find it out? Verse 26, and I find something more bitter than death. Verse 27, behold, this is what I found, says the preacher, while adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, and then humankind, both man and woman, jack that up. God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Okay, this is one of the harder things that Solomon is saying. Let me try to parse it out just a little bit, at least. In verse 25, he says, I turn my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom in the scheme of things. That word scheme there can also mean explanation. So he's trying to figure out how to explain things. And then he wants to know wickedness and of the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And then he says this fun verse, and I find something more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. All right, let's just camp out there for a second. Remember, keep in mind the context here. Solomon is trying to figure things out. He's trying to make explanations for things. And so he's looking out into the world and he's looking at righteousness, right? He's trying to figure that out. And he says, that's good, but I still can't control things. So what about folly? How does that work if I just pursue everything that I want and not care about anybody else or anything else? How does that work? Well, that doesn't work either. And then in verse 25, what he's saying is, what's worse than any of that is the woman. Now, the article there is the key way of understanding this. The woman. Solomon has something specific in mind. Let me read a couple of things from Proverbs and see if this helps at all. All right? This is Proverbs 8, the first couple of verses. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way at the crossroad, she takes her stand. And then at the end of chapter 8, for whoever finds me, he's talking about wisdom, whoever finds me finds life and obtains forever favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. And then going on into chapter 9, wisdom has built her house. Okay? What I want you to hear there is that wisdom takes on a female voice. Okay? And then keep going in Proverbs 9. This is verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. In other words, if you think about the personification of both wisdom and folly as a woman, they are female verbs in the Hebrew. What Solomon is saying then is what is more bitter than death is that you keep pursuing folly. That it will trap you. It will snare you. It's like handcuffs. And if you keep going that way, that it is bitter than death. And it takes wisdom to understand that. Otherwise, we just keep going down the same road, thinking that, oh, if I just keep doing this, then my life will be better. If I can just get what I want, regardless of anyone else. If I can just have more of this, use more of that. Solomon is saying that that is folly. And the way that you get away from that is he who pleases God escapes her. I think you can take this word pleases in verse 26 and the word fear in verse 18. And you put those two things together and what Solomon is saying, everything that you do to try to control your life is an illusion. Trust God. Don't be too righteous. You can't control God that way. Don't pursue folly. You can't control that way. We can't find what we're looking for. So he says this, verse 28, halfway down. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made humankind, God humanity, upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Again, Solomon is not saying that the dudes are right and the women are wrong. What he's saying is that if I put 2,000 people in front of me, 1,000 men and 1,000 women, maybe I can understand one of them. That is, I did the math, 1 out of 2,000, 0.0005%. We just don't make sense. And the main thing that doesn't make sense is we think we're wise enough on our own. We think that we can control God by doing good things. We think we can make life work if we just figure it out. And Solomon is doing everything he can to show us that wisdom says the opposite. Wisdom asks us to hope, to trust, to fear. But I'll end with this. This is so key, I think, because if we don't get this right, then it's really easy to start thinking about, okay, I just gotta be wiser, right? That's the key. Let's not. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who what? Became to us wisdom from God." Living wisely or being wise isn't so much about your day-to-day living as much as it is about a person. This person, Jesus, that you believe in, that you hope in, that you rest in, he is the personification of wisdom. In other words, your pursuit is not about righteousness and it's not about folly. Your pursuit is this man, who is the exact opposite of everything that we thought that we needed. He's not strong. He lives out of his weakness. He doesn't come in with guns a-blazing, taking out Rome. He comes in with humility. He comes in with trust of his Father. And at the end of the day, that's what all this is about. It is, man. Now I feel like it's just a broken record. It is not having it all figured out. It is hoping and waiting and trusting in the one who created wisdom. Believing that he knows exactly what he is doing in you right now. He is not an illusion. He is exactly what you need. Let me pray for us. Father, help us to trust you. It's so hard. Man, it's so hard. Help us to believe that you are in control, even when it feels like our lives are completely out of control. So help us to wait. Help us to hope. Help us to trust. Calm our hearts, Lord, even in the midst of craziness. And fill us with yourself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.